investments. This is a petition for further review. Mr. Lanham, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court and counsel, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of rebuttal time. I'm Bob Lanham. I represent the petitioner here along with my co-counsel Christian at Vandalay Investments. There's two issues before the court, jurisdiction and statutory construction. Very briefly, procedurally, Vandalay obtained a treasurer's tax deed to farm ground within Lincoln County. It was previously owned by Gladys Risner. Risner, originally through her attorney in fact, through her personal representative, challenged the validity of the tax deed. The district court rejected those alleged deficiencies. Quite a title in Vandalay, the Court of Appeals reversed on statutory grounds. We're here on our petition for further review. There's two issues, jurisdiction, that being whether there is standing to challenge the deed, and secondly, an issue of statutory construction in terms of whether Risner was found within the meaning of the statute. I'll take up jurisdiction first because if I'm correct in that grounds, it's dispositive of this appeal. So as to jurisdiction, is there proof that Risner tendered payment of taxes to have standing statutorily and under the case law in this state? Our position is that that is not the case. There is not evidence of tender of payment of taxes to the county treasurer. The Risner claims that this court's decision in Hawkswell versus Handing expanded the group of people to whom tender to obtain standing could be made to include the tax deed holder. It's based upon one line out of Hawkswell versus Henning that reads as follows. Hawkswell did not plead or demonstrate through the evidence the payment of the past due taxes was ever made or tendered to the treasurer or to the Hanslicks. I think this is a statement of the facts of the case, not an expansion of the parties to whom tender can be made. Just two sentences earlier within Hawkswell versus Henning, this court stated, further, the party need only to show the tender of payment of taxes to the treasurer. So I think the requirement is clear under Nebraska law that tender must be made to the treasurer. It's statutory, and it's recognized through our case law. The citation in Hawkswell versus Henning is to Audico versus Larkin. There's case law that has recognized this through the years. But more importantly, I think...
What does the statute actually say?
I'll have to pull my brief out to give it to you. I know it's 1844, and I'm just trying to find it in my brief. No person shall be permitted to question the title acquired by a treasurer's deed without first showing that he or the person under whom he claims title had title to the property at the time of the sale, or that the title is obtained from the United States or this state after the sale, and that all taxes due upon the property have been paid by such person or the person under whom he claims title. So the statute actually talks about payment of taxes, but it's impossible to pay the taxes once the deed issues. That's why there's a requirement of tender. You show that I went to the treasurer, I said, here's my check for this, and the treasurer says, I'm sorry, I cannot accept that. There's a difference between tender and redemption. I think that's what gets missed in Mrs. Risner's argument. I think there's policy reasons to support the need to pay to tender the taxes only to the treasurer, because the treasurer statutorily is the only person that can do that. I left it out of my brief, but 77-1701, subsection 1, states that the county treasurer shall be the ex officio county collector of all taxes levied within the county. So that's the person that knows where taxes are and how much is to be paid. Look at the evidence in this case. The only evidence of tender would be Exhibit 17, which is not anything to the treasurer, but it's a letter to Vandalay saying, we want to redeem. But the amount of that redemption is completely incorrect. That's why the treasurer has to be involved in this process. You have to go to the treasurer and say, what do I owe? Here's my check for it. And the treasurer says, I'm sorry, I can't accept it. You can't simply go to the tax deed holder and say, I want to redeem. Tender has to be to the party, to the treasurer and not to the party. Now, there's an argument here about judicial admission I want to address briefly. It's set forth in our brief, but I want to talk about it for just a second. This court has made it clear that judicial admissions have to be unequivocal, deliberate, clear, and you look at the surrounding context, determine whether, in fact, there's an admission. Here, I don't think if you look at the context of the allegation, the answer, and the admission, the allegation of the complaint and the admission, the answer, that there is such an admission. Wisner essentially alleged that she had attempted redemption and the treasurer never accepted redemption. We admitted that the treasurer never accepted redemption, which is clear because there's a deed issue. So I don't think the concept of judicial admission
Could you repeat that? What is the body of the admission in your view?
The complaint alleged Wisner attempted redemption and that the treasurer did not accept it. We admitted the latter. The treasurer didn't accept a payment, which would be
from Wisner or the world, or wouldn't have accepted it from the world.
It wouldn't accept it from anyone, because only Wisner would have the right to redeem. And after the deed issues, they cannot accept it. But what is important is tender. That's showing to the court, here is what my redemption.
So you didn't admit Wisner tendered.
Yes, and that's what's important. So I don't think the evidence here would support standing. I think there's a jurisdictional defect upon which this court can dismiss this appeal. I want to briefly address the statute for construction issue because it's a little more difficult. 1834, as interpreted by the Court of Appeals, would hold that you can never publish if a person's whereabouts were known. And I think they've interpreted the term found to mean whereabouts known. I think in the context of that statutory scheme, you have to interpret that for the word found to mean served. Otherwise, you completely read out of existence the publication statute. You never have a situation where you could publish if, in fact, the interpretation is, okay, whereabouts are known, therefore found, and you can never publish.
Could you have served by personal service?
I don't think so, Judge. I don't think under the statutory scheme that exists, any way which you could have the sheriff go out and hand it to them.
Has that been changed now?
It has been changed and it is not in effect. Their 1834.01 has retroactively delayed the effective date of that until something in the 2020s. I don't know the effective date. It was originally to be operative this year and the legislature last term extended that delay. So it's not effective now. So I think the point I want to make here is also from a practical perspective, taxes were unpaid. And it's not just the six-month window or three times to send certified mail notice up. A treasurer's deed holder can do nothing for 3 years. So somewhere along the line, isn't there a thought that would go through your head when you're collecting rent on a farm? But hey, what about the taxes? And so I think the equity that the Wisner family tries to play upon really is absent because there is an absence of you have this three-year time frame during which you cannot take any action whatsoever, and during which time they have the absolute right to walk into the treasurer's office, pay those taxes, and a deed can be issued. I'm going to reserve my remaining time if I can.
Thank you very much. Mr. Peterson, good morning to you.
Police Court, Chief Justice, members of the court, my name is David Peterson, attorney practicing in North Platte, family. The law in this area generally circles around constantly the idea that a person doesn't lose their property unless they've had an opportunity to do something about keeping it. The intent of these tax certificate sales is pretty clear. It's a way to get taxes paid if somebody won't pay them, but there's still safeguards in the statutes to make sure that the person doesn't lose their property unless they've had that chance. The judicial foreclosure under Section 77-1901 would take care of a lot of that uncertainty. As it is, we're under Section 77-1801, which has a lot of statutory requirements, but rather than a judge looking at the tax certificate holder who has to comply with the provisions of those statutes, and that's risky. Now, the reason for the process, I assume, is it's like someone like Vandalay that has this as a business. It's faster, it's cheaper, they have a system, and most of the time it works. But when it doesn't work, then it's time to go look at those statutes. No one is strictly responsible for following them. The issues, as Mr. Land said, are that this was standing to challenge this deed and jurisdiction, and then also the question of whether notice by publication was proper. Initially, those appear to be somewhat different, but it's not all interrelated. It always goes back to the same thing. If an owner does not receive proper notice, there's nothing that he or she can do to protect themselves. And if the tax certificate holder represents to the county treasurer that we've done all the things we're supposed to do, that treasurer has no other recourse but to issue a deed. Once that deed is issued, the way the statute reads, the treasurer can't honor a redemption because that tax has already been, excuse me, the deed's already been issued under 1824. The owner couldn't pay the taxes because they've already been paid, so the owner could not have standing under 1844. If this court had not intervened over 100 years ago on some of these things, we would have a problem with a person ever being able to redeem. This court has intervened and interpreted the intent of the statutes. The Section 77-1844 says nothing about tender payment. That's a judicial decision that comes from some cases around 1913. That's where the tender part comes in. The statute itself today, even with the revisions that you were discussing with Mr. Lannan, the statutes still say paid by the owner. That is not what the law is. The law is a tender of payment. And the reason for that is clear, because the court recognized under these two statutes, well, we'd be stuck. They wouldn't be able to redeem because the deed had already been issued. The court recently in this Hansla case, October's Hansla group cited, specifically talked about this statute. But I realize it may just be one line, but it makes sense that the talks will not plead or demonstrate through the evidence that payment of past taxes was ever made or tendered to the treasurer or to Hanslicks. There's got to be a reason for that. Hanslicks were the tax deed recipient, just like Vandalay. What we're talking about in all of these things is the court has required showing of effort to pay and the ability to pay, both of which we were able to do at trial. On this issue of judicial admissions, it's kind of a frustrating situation. The Lehrman asked about the actual pleadings are this. The plaintiff alleges presented the redemption to the defendant and to the Lincoln County Treasurer within 45 days of the defendant's application of deed, but the county treasurer declined to accept the redemption.
I think opposing counsel has bifurcated that thought.
Yes.
But the response what do you think it means, and what do you think was admitted, please?
What I heard this morning was the differences between tender, payment, and redemption. I submit to you, and we've briefed it that way, there is no difference. Redemption is payment. There isn't any way to do this without making payment. County treasurer clearly had to decline to accept it because the deed had already been issued. The admission that we're relying on the admission part of this, the county treasurer declined to accept the plaintiff's redemption. And it goes on to say, my eyes are best. If there was some question about this, then the answer should have been we deny this paragraph 16. But that was never an issue. It wasn't raised at trial. And it's true that standing can be raised at any time, but not after you've admitted, at least in my mind, admitted this, and not after trial, where we couldn't go back and call the county treasurer or the deputy county attorney who would have handled it to say, was tender paid?
Was standing jurisdiction?
Actually, I don't know the answer to that. I thought that the other day as I was preparing for this. What we're talking about is her ability to challenge a deed. If she has no ability, then I guess the court has no jurisdiction.
Okay. Can the parties, through acquiescence or stipulation, the court's jurisdiction if there's no evidence to that?
Excuse me, I don't think it's a matter of stipulation. I think the judicial admission becomes evidence. So the evidence is before the court as the fact that this is no longer something we need to present evidence on. So that court, wasn't asked by the district court, it wasn't asked by the court of appeals. It came out for the first time, this petition for review. We think there is evidence, though, that is sufficient to show that that this tender was made. If you look at Exhibits 17, 18, and 19, Exhibit 17 is a letter to Vandalay. In the last paragraph of the first page, it says, my letter says, the Lincoln County Treasurer provided the tax amounts. Exhibit 18 is a notice of redemption, which is referred to in the pleadings, and it says, upon tender made to Lincoln County Treasurer. Form, but it's still there in evidence. The calculation is in Exhibit 19. Where would those calculations come from? I can tell you, I would not be the one to do those calculations. So there's plenty of evidence for the court, the district court, to have concluded between the admission and the evidence before it that the county treasurer was involved in the process.
Did the district court make that conclusion?
It was never raised. And so
didn't the district court say in its order that no tender was made to?
No. There was no reference to tender of payment at all. Felt it was a non-issue. The payment, so the focus was on the payment tendered to Vandalay in this case, because we felt it was a foregone conclusion that the treasurer had already, that's been tendered to the treasurer. The other area that we probably should cover while we have time here is the notice of publication. If we believe the Court of Appeals was right, need an analysis of what found means. The point of all this is to make sure that a person has a legitimate opportunity to avoid losing her property if she will do the things that she's supposed to do to make up for it. And we talked, Mr. Lanham talked about the 3 years. I get that, but that was the problem throughout, and the court doesn't have the benefit of some of this, but this is a lady living in a nursing home, no family around, and a miscommunication between the company that was supposed to be paying the bills and the power of attorney. There's reasons why this happened, and it wasn't her thumbing her nose at the county treasurer saying, I'm not paying these things. This is not, in my mind, the kind of situation that a tax certificate sale was supposed to address.
What could Vandalay do under the statute to perfect service other than what it did?
Well, I believe that there was an opportunity to do a second certified mail.
If that wasn't signed for?
And I think the only alternative under that statute was to switch to a judicial foreclosure. I don't think that would be an onerous requirement at all. And in fact, they did actually file a lawsuit when there was some concern about whether they were going to get the deed in time. They knew what they were doing, and there were options. That goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning. If you choose this tax deed process, they're the keeper of the law to a certain extent, and they need to do it right. So we feel like that is not an unusual or unreasonable expectation. When certified mail is the first option, if that doesn't work, then trying to do diligent effort to find them is the second. But if you know where that person is, if you know the address, if you get a newspaper article that says, here's where they are and here's where they're living, then you found her by any definition. And once you found her, publication is simply not an option. Vandalay chose to go through this system. That's their right. But once these bumps in the road started, then they've got an obligation to make sure they don't cut corners. There are other things that the Court of Appeals didn't even have a chance to address because they knocked it out on the notice issue. But this, the jurisdiction thing is a concern for me because it was never raised. There's plenty of evidence around it. And, you know, to the extent we didn't use the term tender payment, we use the term redemption. I don't think that's a fair question. And if they did have a question, somebody could have asked the question of Bob and Wisdom. Did you pay that? It was never asked. It was never raised before. So the whole point of our position is these tax statutes we understand. There's a place for them. We've gone through all the right steps to preserve the right to keep that property. Mrs. Wisner and her children and grandchildren should not be divested of it on a little phrase that may or may not be confusing to someone who could have asked the question if they really asked. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 2 minutes, Mr. Lannon.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to talk quickly about the judicial foreclosure option because I do not believe it is an option. After the facts of the case, this court issued its decision in Nguyen, and there's language that makes it clear that the judicial foreclosure option and the deed application options are not interchangeable nor fungible. You can't intermix the two. There is evidence of a petition in this case. That petition was what my client called a protective action. It was not a foreclosure action. I don't think you're allowed to maintain both things at the same time. I do want to say on jurisdiction, I don't want the impression that I was kind of lying in the woods or lying in wait to raise that issue. I didn't realize there was even an issue until I lost in the Court of Appeals. That's when I looked at the evidence closer and said there really seems to be a tender issue because there is a difference between redemption and tender. Redemption ends with the deed issuance. Tender is an evidentiary and standing requirement that this court has imposed. And it is a gloss upon 1844 in terms of have to show I gave this check or I had this check available to the treasurer, and that's just what's not here in this case. Exhibit 17 and the others never show I gave this, showed this to the treasurer. It shows I want to give this or I intend to in the future. It does not show that I had presented this check to the treasurer and the treasurer declined, and that's what this court has required. District Court and the Court of Appeals both mentioned a tender to the party, but not to the treasurer. On that basis, I think jurisdiction is lacking. The appeal should be dismissed, and the case should be resolved. Unless there's other questions, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Our next case.